And praise the Lord. We just want to, tonight, I just want to take a few minutes because we don't want anybody to miss this, you know, that have come in here tonight. But I pray that at the end of this evening that there would be laughter in your heart, that there would be joy because you know who Jesus is as your Lord and Savior, that she would know that this good news is a good fit for you. This is, it's the love of Jesus is, it's one size fits all, you know, and one size fits all is just, you don't have to come in here and just kind of like, I don't know if this is, it's comfortable. It really is. To take a look at me, it's comfortable. And it's a great fit. And we just want you to know that when you come into the house of the Lord, you know, treat it like a fitting room and trust us when we say, when you put it on, it's love. His kindness and his mercy, it's a good fit and it looks great on you. And you can smile and you can have joy. Amen. I just want to just share this story with you. The message I want to leave with you tonight is titled Sons and Daughters of Grace. And I was reading in the scripture here in the Bible, there's this very small story that has this big message of just the good news of God, our Father in heaven who loves us. And I was reading in 2 Samuel chapter 9, and I'm just going to just move through it quite quickly here, and you can just listen. But there's this moment in scripture where the king said, and this is King David, and the king said, "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God to him?" Ziba said to the king, this is this man who had some information. Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He's crippled in his feet." And the king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "Well, he's in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, at a place called Lodabar." And then King David sent and brought him from the house of Machir, talking about this young man that he heard about. And Mephibosheth, that's his name. It's a little tongue twister if you say it five times. And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, he came to David, fell on his face and paid homage. And David said with an exclamation point, "Mephibosheth!" And he answered, "Behold, I'm your servant." And David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. I'm going to restore to you all the land of Saul, your father. You're going to eat at my table always." And he paid homage. Mephibosheth paid homage. And then he says, "Well, what is your servant that you should show regard for a dead dog such as I?" And then the king, David, he called Ziba back, Saul's servant, and said to him, "All that belonged to Saul and all to his house I've given to your master's grandson, Mephibosheth. And you have your sons and your servants. They're going to till the land. They're going to work and they're going to provide produce for now your master, Mephibosheth." And so now Ziba had 15 sons, 20 servants. And then Ziba says to the king, "According to all that you've said, all that you've commanded me, your servant will do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all who lived in Ziba's house became Mephibosheth's servant. So Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem. He ate always at the king's table. Now he was lame, scripture says in closing, he was lame in both of his feet. I look back, and the first time we hear about Mephibosheth is earlier on in this story where it talks about how he became crippled in his feet. And what had happened was, is his dad, Jonathan, and his grandfather, Saul, had died in battle. And at that time, Saul was an enemy of the king, David. And so when the father and the grandfather died, there was a nurse who took care of Mephibosheth. And so the nurse, assuming that in that time, of course, that if there was a battle between two families, once the dad and the grandson, the grandfather had died, that the king would wipe out the rest of the family through battle. So the nurse assumed that the best thing I should do right now is to grab the baby. And at 5 years old, she grabbed young Mephibosheth and started to run. And the Bible tells us that when she ran, she fell with the baby. And due to the fall, Mephibosheth became crippled in both of his feet for the rest of his life. And now we here in this moment recognize that as he was running with the nurse, because she assumed that she was now an enemy of the king, that the best thing to do was run. And even in that moment, I'm just reminded of you and I, that when we have come to a place where we feel as though the King, the Father, God is upset with us, angry with us because of our failure, because of our sin, our natural reaction is to run, is to hide. And this is what happens. We run, we hide, and we come to a place where we're in a place where we think nobody can find us. And I love this because it really represents the love of God, the Father. I love this act of kindness that really represents the good news of Jesus Christ. King David comes to this place further on down the road where he says, is there anybody still in the house of Jonathan that I can show kindness to? Recognizing here in this story that this family were at odds with the king. You know, kind of like you and I. You and I, without Jesus, we're enemies with God. You and I, who don't receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're at odds with God because of our sin, because of our failure. But God, in his love and in his kindness, inquires to know where we are, to receive us back through his son, Jesus Christ. This story represents that kindness that we get from God. Now, this is amazing to me because here is a family that's been at odds with the king, enemies. And he would say, is there anybody in the family around that I can show kindness to? And so here is this person, Ziba, who says, oh, I know somebody. His name is Mephibosheth. He's crippled in both of his feet. I mean, it's interesting how he makes sure to let the king know of this young man's ailment, handicap. That's kind of like what we go through in life, you know? Some of us are known for our failures. Some of us, when people recall your name, they say, oh, yeah, yeah, I know that guy. He's an alcoholic. Oh, yeah, yeah, I know that guy. He's a womanizer. Oh, yeah, I know that woman. She gets around. And it's amazing how we live life known by our failures, recognized by our mess. And what that does to us is it causes us even to retreat even more, to stay in a place of hiding. He says, yo, yeah, 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 I know Mephibosheth. He's lame in both of his feet. He's crippled. I mean, what do you want to do with him? And a lot of us assume that because we've lived a life a certain way for so long, crippled in some way, maybe crippled in your sin, crippled by your disobedience, crippled by your own rebellion, crippled by your pride, crippled by your failures, crippled by the inability to get things right, that you go into a place of hiding. And the king is like, where is he? And this guy says, well, he's in this place called Lodabar. And I looked up the word Lodabar, and it means no pasture. And the word pasture represents a place to graze, where there's healthy grass, where there's a place of where livestock can come together. Anything of pasture represents good community. But this place was called Lodabar, which means no pasture, no place to graze, no place to feed, nothing healthy. The word itself demonstrates having nothing. And so here was Mephibosheth. Interesting enough, in a place of Lodabar, a place where there was no pasture. Because let me tell you something, symbolically what that represents is that when you and I go into hiding because of our failure or because of our inability, we find ourselves in a place of no pasture, in a place where we're not able to find something healthy for our soul. We come to a place where it is dried out and empty. A place where there is nothing good going on. A place where there is no life. And when I find that people are hiding from God, running from God, assuming that his wrath is going to come down and he's going to destroy me and he's going to condemn me and he's going to pass judgment on me, I tell you something, as long as you're running, you're in a place where it is dry and your soul is dry and your life is empty outside of God. And so the king says, go get him. Bring bring him to me. You know, after the king hears, he's crippled in his feet and he's out in some place of no pasture. I mean, he's just, there's nothing good going on in his life. And the king says, you go get him. Hallelujah. And every bit of that story in that moment to me is a representation of the Father in heaven who sent his son Jesus down on this earth. Go get him. The Father in heaven, the king. Here we are on this earth, crippled, messed up, stuck in our failure, hiding from God, unable to move anywhere fast. And Jesus comes to get us. Hallelujah. Jesus comes to get us. For many of us, we don't want anybody to come get us. We're ashamed. We're crippled. We're weak. Our minds are lost in a world of sin and mess, wicked stuff, things that are not right. But Jesus comes to get you anyway. He's coming. And so they go get Mephibosheth and they bring him to the king. And Mephibosheth falls on his face and the king gets excited. I mean, here he is, just been away for a long time. Some of us feel like, oh man, I've been away from God for a long time. There's no way that I can be used by God. There's no way that he can call me unto himself. There's no way that God would receive me. I've been a mess for years. And yet, when the king laid eyes on Mephibosheth, I love that reaction. It was as if he'd known him his whole life. Mephibosheth, hey! And Mephibosheth just falls on his face and just goes, here I am, your servant, right? And I looked at that and a question came to mind. And to consider yourself a servant and as to how can I serve you? What can I do? You know, and for many of us, that is kind of what we do in the attempt to kind of receive a relationship with God. We're like, man, if there's just something that I can do to reconcile with God, if there's something that I can do to better myself, maybe he'll be pleased with me. And so here's Mephibosheth saying, I'm come to serve. And all the king does is say, no, I don't need your service. I want you to be my son. And I want you to sit at my table. And this is awesome to me. And for me personally, for many years, I attempted to make God pleased by always trying to fix my mess and to get things right. I thought I had to work for my salvation. I thought I had to earn it in some way. That it was up to me to fix everything and then come to God and say, all right, are you pleased? I'm assuming now that because of what I've done right, you'll receive me. But no, Jesus did all the work for us. This has nothing to do with what you and I can do for God. It has everything to do about God and what he did for us. And that he gave his son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior. As a sacrifice for you and I. And so here's the king. He says, hey, I want to restore unto you all this land. I want to give you servants. I want you to come back and live. Matter of fact, this guy that talked about you having crippled feet, him and his whole family is going to serve you now. I'm going to restore it all back to you. And Mephibosheth is overwhelmed. Sometimes the love of God is overwhelming. It doesn't make sense why here I've been just totally out of place, in a place of no pasture, in a place of no life. And you would say to me, you want to restore land to me that I've never even known? Oh God, that you would want to bless me? Oh God, that you want to show me kindness, that you want to show me love? And Mephibosheth, he says, who am I? I'm just nothing but a dead dog. That's what Mephibosheth said. And really that represents his moment of confession. It represents a moment where he repents and confesses his mess to the king. I'm nothing. And it really is the confession that you and I are called to. That we would also be able to come to God and say, I repent. I've been a dead dog in my mess. I've been a failure. I've blown it. My mind has been all over. I've done things that are just terrible. I've said things out of my mouth that are terrible. I got to tell you that that's all you got to do is confess, and God is faithful to forgive you. To confess, to repent, to turn from your wicked ways, to turn from sin. That's just to simply turn and say, I am going to walk away from this mess and I'm going to go to Jesus Christ who's calling me. God is calling us through his son Jesus, not to condemn you. When Mephibosheth showed up, it wasn't to condemn him. It was to bless him. And here we get this amazing story. And he comes. And the king goes on to just say, he says, listen, I want you to sit at my table always. I love that. Will you come sit at my table always? And I want you to be like my son. I just want to give you grace. I don't know where you've been all these years, but I just want to extend this unmerited, undeserved favor to you. And come sit at my table. And eat with me, dine with me. And that's the good news. That's the gospel. See, God is calling you and I tonight to say, come sit and eat at my table. Come dine with me. I know your life has been a mess. I know your whole family lineage has just been an absolute mess. I know from generation to generation, you've just blown it. But hey, you're not enemies with me, because what happened is, see, I have sent my son Jesus to come get you. In his power and in his authority, God sent his son Jesus. He became flesh. He walked and lived on this earth like you and I. He lived it well. He did it without sin. He lived the life that we couldn't live. And then he went to the cross and he took on the death that we deserved. It should have been us. We were dead dogs, dead in our sin, dead in our iniquity, dead in our mess. But he broke the power of sin in our lives when he went to the cross. And victory is now yours in Christ Jesus. You and I are now sons and daughters of grace if we would receive by faith Jesus Christ as our Savior. This is why we smile tonight. This is why we get excited. This is why we have joy. Now, here's what's so awesome. Mephibosheth comes, scripture says, and he eats at the king's table as a son. Always and forever. And the end of that story goes, and Mephibosheth was lame in both feet. Now, why in the world would the story end like that? I mean, wouldn't you think me naturally, I'd be like, man, come on, let's see a miracle happen or something. Let's see him kicking and dancing at the table. That would be really awesome to close it out. But instead, the story ends by saying, and he was lame in both his feet. And as I was just thinking through that and just asking God, just show me your love and grace in this story, it came very clear to me that the crippled feet represented you and I, still a messed up people in need of a Savior. Hallelujah. Now, this is important for you to understand, that in this flesh, we are always going to be walking a little funny. That in this flesh, in this crippled flesh, we will never be able to get it right outside of Jesus Christ. But I tell you something. I don't have to look at my crippled feet anymore. You don't have to look at your crippled feet anymore. All you got to do is just come to the table and sit down and set eyes on the King. Stop looking at your feet. Stop looking at your mess. Just sit down, slide them crippled feet up under the table and set eyes on the Master. You keep looking at your crippled feet, you'll never get to the table. Just accept the beautiful offer, the invitation to have life in Jesus. Accept the offer. The offer is this: you are sons and daughters of grace. Come to the table. Some of you have been waiting way too long to try to figure out if I can just walk better because I'm so embarrassed by the way I walk, by the way I live, by the way I think. I'll come to the table as soon as I figure this out. I'll come to the table as soon as I've just got something right in my head, as soon as I get my job right, as soon as I fix my marriage. Man, let Jesus fix your marriage. Let Jesus fix your marriage. I haven't watched porn all week, and so you know, I just need a little bit more time to figure this out. And I know God will be pleased with me. It is not for you to figure out. You're gonna keep falling and tripping up. You need to come to the table and receive His grace and mercy. Because when you come to the table and you surrender your life to Jesus, when He looks at you eye to eye, He says the same thing over and over again. He feeds you with this: I forgive you. I love you. Your feet are all crippled. You know what He does too? This is the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. He pulls the chair out for you. He says, sit down, my son. Sit down, daughter. Oh, but I've made a mess of things. That's all right. My son Jesus, He took that mess to the cross so that you would have that place at the table. Yeah. You should have been left out in Lodabar, but I came to get you. And God doesn't fail when He's on a rescue mission. Listen. The plan of Jesus Christ, the King's Son, the sacrifice, what Jesus did on the cross, it's a flawless plan. It's perfect. It just keeps on working. It's the power of the gospel. It's good news. It's salvation. When that blood was shed on Calvary, that's it. That's it. He took hold of sin and took hold of death. He won the victory on the cross. And the moment He did that, our names were written on a chair on the King's table. And there's your name. Now, praise God. Worship team, come on. Because this is what we're going to do. We're going to pray up here. And this is what this is going to represent tonight. You're going to take your mess, your crippled position, and you're going to walk up here tonight, and you're going to take your place at the King's table. This is no time to figure it out. This is no time to think about time. Let's stand up together. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Tonight's not your night to be a servant. Tonight's your night to be a son and a daughter. You can't figure this out. Tell you what, just come to the King's table. You start coming right now, but you come to the King's table and you find your place as son and daughter at the King's table. And some of you, this crippled state has left you bitter, has left you angry, have left you upset. Because I know you've been walking like this for a long time, some of you. Some of you are upset at the person that dropped you. Bitter and angry because somebody messed you up at 5 years old. They spoke to you the wrong way. They touched you the wrong way. They abused you in some way. You're angry and bitter. Hey, come to the table. And some of you, you've been crippled for so long. You might need help getting down here, all right? So just look to somebody to your left and right. You're not sure about this. I'm sure that Mephibosheth needed some help to get to the table. So look to somebody to your left and right. Could you walk with me? You humble yourself. Thank God that Mephibosheth humbled himself and came to the table. You humble yourself and you come to the table. Let's worship. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Welcome to the table. Welcome to the table. Your sons and daughters of the King, sons and daughters of grace. Would you pray this prayer with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for this invitation to sit at your table as a son and daughters of grace. I confess to you, I've tried to hide. I've tried to run. I've tried to fix things myself. But I can't. I confess I can't do it myself. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of the mess I've made. I repent of my sins. I believe you, Jesus, to be the Savior of my life. Thank you for going to the cross for me, taking my place. Make me a new creature. Make me a new person tonight. A son, a daughter. I receive your grace. I receive your mercy. I don't deserve it, but because you're a kind God, you have given it to me. Thank you, Jesus, for being my Savior. Amen.